to sing my great Redeemer's praise, my great Redeemer's praise.
Hello, dear friend. This is Whitney Doe inviting you to listen to Methodist Hour. We will hear the music of contemporary praise and a timely message from the Bible by John Wolfe. Stay with us and enjoy the next 14 minutes, won't you?
My gracious Master and my God.
Methodist Hour encourages evangelical Christianity as we reach around the world. We are an affiliate member of the General Board of Discipleship of the United Methodist Church.
The honors of thy name.
Out of the pages of the Bible, the Spirit of the Lord speaks to us. Here's a wonderful contemporary praise song, Where the Spirit of the Lord Is. Today's message is entitled, Don't Be Afraid to Ask. Here is Methodist Hour President, the Reverend John Wolfe.
Thank you so much, Brother Witt. The gospel lesson is Mark chapter 9, verses 30 through 37. They went on from there and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples and saying to them, The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again. But they did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, What were you arguing about on the way? But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. Jesus sat down and called the 12, and he said to them, Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all. Then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking the child in his arms, he said to them, Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me. Amen. Boy, I can remember my commanding officer said, Wolf, are you ready? I'm on the way, I said. Well, I was being mustered out of the Army. I was leaving Fort Knox, Kentucky, and I was on the way home. Have you ever used that expression, I'm on the way? Well, as you reread this lesson for today, Mark chapter 9, verses 30 through 37, you'll notice that Mark uses this phrase to describe the journey of Jesus. Now, when Mark uses this expression, they were on the way, he actually means that Jesus had declared his passion and death. Jesus means that he is on the way to punishment and crucifixion. Mark also teaches us that Jesus passed through Galilee. Now, Galilee was home for Jesus. Remember that. Now, just imagine what was going on in the mind of Jesus. He was with his disciples, and he was spending time alone with them and teaching them about the coming kingdom. Mark says that they were in the house. Now, when you say in the house, it's another way of saying that they were not out in public. They were private. They were having some private time together. Now, we do not know for sure how long it took the disciples to get to Galilee or how long it took to walk to Capernaum. It was a Jewish custom, you see, for men to walk two by two. They often walked very close together. And my hunch is that Jesus was walking on ahead and thinking about what was going on, and as he let that stuff go through his mind and how much he had to teach his disciples before it was over. Somewhere along the journey to Capernaum, the disciples were talking, and I think they were kind of reviewing some of the things that Jesus had been teaching them about the kingdom of God. At one point, their discussion got a little heated, I guess, and they were trying to decide who Jesus would be, would have to be the greatest in the kingdom. Now, Jesus had been silent, but now they were in the house. Remember, they were in this private place, and Jesus said, "Now, what was the heated discussion you had on the way here?" The disciples were silent. Just imagine, Jesus was talking to them about his betrayal and crucifixion. He was pouring out his life to them, and they were thinking about who would be the most important and the most successful in the new kingdom. Well, at first glance, it seems almost impossible for these intimate friends to miss the whole point of what Jesus was trying to tell them. Mark says they did not understand, and they were afraid to ask Jesus what he meant. Doesn't that bother you just a little bit? How is it possible for them to miss it? He had been with them for all those months. They had seen the miracles, and they had heard him teach. Remember, Peter said, "Lord, we wouldn't leave you because we believe you are the Holy One of God." Now, the reason they did not understand was because the stakes were higher. Now Jesus is teaching them about the high cost of commitment. For him, it was the cross, not just being murdered on the cross, but it also meant the emotional suffering of betrayal and public humiliation. Hundreds of people who found hope and healing from Jesus would walk away from him at the cross, and they would not even look back. You know, we do not know what the disciples understood, except you can bet your life that it frightened them so much that they didn't even want to talk about it. If Jesus had said something like, "Now men, we're going into Jerusalem and we're going to take over. We'll have the newest office building, and Peter, I want you to be my executive vice president. James, you're the head of marketing, and John, you'll be in charge of public relations and personnel. I want you men to know you'll have a full benefit package and expense accounts and automobiles with telephones, you know, all of that kind of thing." And now that kind of picture would have been a lot easier to understand and to talk about than the one Jesus presented to them. His plan called for them to be embarrassed, to be laughed at in public. Instead of being heroes, they would have to hide from their friends. In fact, they could have easily been put to death for associating with Jesus. I have an idea that I would have had a hard time asking about that cross too, wouldn't you? I mean, when you think about what was up. I think you'll agree that the disciples weren't much different than you and me. You and I aren't called to the crucifixion, but we are often called to serve in costly ways. I think of my friend Robin Ringler. She was with us in our church recently. And Robin, at the time I'm talking about, was with the General Board of Global Ministries. And she had a very comfortable home in a nice community in Atlanta, Georgia. But she left her parents and her family to serve as a missionary in Germany. And that was before the wall came down. Her work took her away from home and friends for several years, and her work was so difficult and frightening at times. Do you remember the days when the East Germans were trying to sneak across the wall to freedom to West Germany? Well, Robin lived near the Berlin Wall, near the famous Checkpoint Charlie. She witnessed demonstrations. She saw persons who left everything and family and friends just to be free. Some of them even lost their lives or went to prison. You know, it would have been so easy for Robin to stay at home to find a pleasant job. She's a very bright woman, but she knew about the cross, and she knew that she would have to risk for the sake of the kingdom. Robin served for a long time after that as the director of the program with Peace and Justice for our denomination. Robin finally retired from that, is serving right now as a mama, but she has left a tremendous legacy. You know, had Robin not gone to Berlin, though, I doubt she would have understood then what Peace and Justice was all about. I remember a young man, was young when I first knew him, Chick Moss. He worked with youth. He knew about the cross. He served in youth ministry in our church for, oh gosh, almost 20 years. Chick was a regional sales manager for his company, and his job was very demanding. And week after week, I have seen Chuck and his family give up their time and resources to help young people to know about Christ. On more than one occasion, the Moss family took their vacation time to be with our youth instead of going away. I worked with him a long time, and you know, I never heard him complain one time. He gave the best that he had. Three ministers and four youth directors have come and gone, but Chick is still on the job. Well, he doesn't preach, but his life is a witness not just to his salvation, but it's a witness to the meaning of the cross. I remember a woman by the name of Marion Steele. She's gone to be with the Lord now, but I saw her one day coming to our little church. She was getting out of the car, and she was walking very slowly with a cane. Her hearing was terrible right then, but her spirit was just radiant. You know, as she sat there in worship, I knew that she could barely hear a word that was being said, but I knew she was in the church because her commitment to Christ was so powerful. You see, Marion was 97 years old that day. I was there in the congregation when they stood to sing Happy Birthday to her on her 93rd birthday. You know, she was still singing in the choir then. And I have an idea that she would still be in the choir if she could have heard. And I know she's in the choir in heaven, but not many people knew about how sacrificially this dear woman had given to her church and her family. She gave to the people in the community. Her witness was so powerful. When her husband Ed was alive, they were always present in worship, and they served everywhere they were needed. And I think Marion really understood about the cross. Jesus said, "Look, you see this child, the one I'm holding here in my arms, she has no power. She has no money. She can do nothing that can profit me. She has no idea who I am. But I want you to understand, unless you can care for persons that you minister as though they were like this child, you won't be able to understand how to be my disciple." Lord Jesus, it is so difficult for us to live in our culture and not understand waiting for the rewards of our ministry. For some of us, it's notoriety, and for some of us, it's position and power, and for some of us, it's money. Teach us the new way that reward is in how we minister in the cross. We give you thanks, O Christ. Amen.
The Savior is waiting to enter your heart.
Yes, John Wolfe, the central characteristic of a genuine Christian life is self-giving love, the life of the cross. We begin our life with Jesus in self-surrender, accepting His gift of forgiveness and giving ourselves to Him in response to His love. And with that, we begin the process of becoming Christ-like persons. Self-serving and selfishness drops away, and we're called to walk the way of the cross. John, those original disciples had a rough time discovering that, didn't they? But eventually they did. May we also learn what it means to be the real thing as a Christian. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to His blood. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Dear listener, drop us a note and let us know that you've heard this broadcast and your response. Our address, Methodist Hour, Box 814, Roswell, Georgia, 30077. Again, Post Office Box 814, Roswell, Georgia, 30077. Let us urge you to attend your neighborhood United Methodist Church or the church of your choice. And now until next week, this is your producer and host, Whitney Doe, praying that the good news will always be yours. And may the Lord bless you and keep you.